With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Attorney General nominee William Barr is assuring members of the Senate Judiciary Committee that if confirmed, he will not interfere in the Mueller investigation. He also said that in speaking with President Trump, the president has not sought any special protections from the man who's likely to be his next attorney general. British lawmakers are considering a handful of proposed amendments to Prime Minister Theresa May's Brexit deal before they vote on the agreement itself. Voters back in 2016 approved the referendum calling for Brexit, Britain's departure from the European Union. Police in Texas say three deputies were shot and wounded last night as they served a search warrant at a home in Odessa. The Ector County Sheriff says the officers returned fire after they were fired upon, killing one of the suspects inside the home. On Wall Street right now, the Dow is up by 31 points, the NASDAQ up by 80. More details at srnnews.com.
No rain today and lots of sunshine. The high will be 59 degrees. This evening, there's a 1 in 10 chance of rain, partly cloudy and cooler. The low tonight, 38. Tomorrow will be partly cloudy. There's a 10% chance of rain. The high tomorrow, 64 degrees.
Ignition sequence time.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engines running. Commit. Liftoff.
Hey folks, good afternoon and welcome to SWAT Radio. I'm Brad Sykes here with my good buddy Doug McCary this Tuesday afternoon. Doug, it's a little chilly outside and it's getting colder.
Yeah, it's going to be colder for like a day.
A day.
It's 38 degrees. Steve and I were talking, we were just talking about how the weather's been up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. It's supposed to be hot. New highs this weekend. Did you know that?
No, really?
Yeah.
That's so they're saying this weekend it's going to be high.
Yeah.
80.
Yeah.
And then 38 tonight.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, there's been a lot going on. The weather's a small thing compared to everything else going on. We're still in the shutdown. I was talking to a worker today who said that a lot of people are taking furlough. I think TSA's taken sick days, air traffic controllers. You know, Miami shut down last week because TSA guys had so many sick people. Just a lot going on in the news. I don't know if you saw Theresa May's Brexit deal was crushed by a record margin, almost 2-1.
Mm.
So that was a big deal. And then, you know who Christian Gillibrand is, right? Christian Gillibrand is the New York Democrat, and now she just said she's going to run for president.
First one to come out.
Well, she's supposed to make that announcement, and she is she's a firebrand. Let's just say that for that. But we don't want to get too far off into that. Just bringing up some of the news stuff. Anything else going on that you know of, Brad?
In the news? Not that I know of. You know, interesting in my business, in the real estate business, the VA and the FHA, you know, loans. Anybody that's got a VA or an FHA loan, you know, they haven't really missed a beat. Everything's going fairly smooth. USDA, different challenge. There are some things out there. People trying to buy houses.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're going to get held up a little bit with some of those things. So it'll be interesting. I expect some delays to some extent.
But. Yeah. Well, I don't know if you heard the briefing, but this morning Al Mohler was talking about the new curriculum out in California. Now, here's the interesting thing about California. You can complain about California all you want, but a lot of times California pretty much sets a trend for what kind of goes on in other parts of the states about 5 years ahead.
That's right.
They've been doing that for a while. As much as you may not like some of the things they do, it tends to be trendy and affect other people. Well, now they're releasing a new curriculum for the K through 12. So we're talking about public schools, kindergarten through 12, and it deals with the whole sexual education program. And in this, they're teaching pre-K to third graders that gender is boy, girl, both, neither, trans, gender queer, non-binary, gender fluid, transgender. I'm not kidding. This is what they're doing. Gender neutral, agender, neutra. I don't know what that means. Bigender, third gender, two-spirit, and even more.
And a third grader is going to be able to figure that one out.
That is crazy.
Do they give an exam for that? I just wonder if that's, or is that a multiple choice?
Well, there's one lesson plan for one book that gives three layers of what's known as the gender wheel. Students are told grown-ups look at a baby's body when they're born, and they make a guess. And the sex assigned at birth, male or female, that's the guess. But then
could be wrong.
Yeah.
Could
in parentheses, it says sometimes people get this confused with gender, but gender is much more than the body you're born with. Remember, you're talking about a 5 to 8 year old. This is what's going to be taught. Also, that they
and this is a done deal.
Yeah. This is what's being moved forward to be take effect. The State Department of Education is accepting this new draft. They're in the process of accepting it, okay, the draft. But it also the K through 3, so again, 5 to 8 year olds, in that section is a suggestion that sexual organs or reproductive organs should not be identified as male or female, since there are, according to the logic of this new framework they're building, males who have female reproductive organs, which is absolutely absurd, and females who have male reproductive organs, which is, again, absurd. So the teacher's encouraged here, he says, is an understatement, to use only the accurate anatomical names for the organs instead of saying male or female. So they're moving them away from that and moving them away from what for millennia has been defining who we are. I mean, is a male or female. I mean, in the beginning, God made them male and female. He didn't make them binary. He didn't make them
neutral.
agender. He made them male and female. And it's terrible, because you think there's going to be more lawsuits out of this? Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely.
It's going to be crazy. But when you get to the 9th through 12th grades, it continues to explore and develop their individuality and identity. And students may have various gender identities and sexual orientations. And it goes on to explain sexual orientation as referring to a person's romantic and sexual attraction. Gender identity refers to one's internal, deeply held sense of being male, female, neither of these, both of these.
And, you can be both.
Yeah, you can be both, and may not necessarily correspond to the sex they were assigned at birth. I mean, and at one point in the draft, it says some students may be non-monogamous, and the term partners may be used to be more inclusive. The teachers are told that this means like words boyfriend and girlfriend are more about the past than the present and the future. Students are also told to be about open relationships, including polyfidelity, which involves more than two people being romantic or in a sexual relationship, which is not open to additional partners. That's crazy, Brad.
And what grade?
This is K. Well, this is right here, 9 through 12. What we're talking about now, when they get into the relational aspects, but
my word, that is a disaster.
Oh my gosh, it is polyfidelity. In other words, no fidelity. There's no fidelity if you're polyfidelic. That's crazy. He says, one final observation is when you look at this kind of curriculum framework, you have to recognize that this becomes dominant for a long period of time. Hmm. Once they vote this into place, once it becomes the framework for their education system, and by statute in California, it is 8 years once it's adopted. So for the next 8 years, these students will be taught this. So imagine the Christian brothers and sisters out there who don't hold to this. It's going to, I mean, the confusion, all that. The current framework by which California operates now was put in place in 2002, 17 years ago. So the one that they've been using for the last 17 years is one that states, so this could be here for another 17 years. And so...
reality is, I mean, if they make that kind of a jump, 17 years or even 8 years, it won't go the other way. It's not going to reverse itself.
Yeah. So you think school board elections don't have consequences too? Yeah. You remember Charlene Cothran, who was the lady who she put out a lesbian magazine and she was a leader in the lesbian lobby movement, said when she was on our program a couple of years ago that their agenda was to capture school boards in elections and change the country by changing the school boards. And here they are in California. I mean, that list was just crazy.
And so that was on the briefing this morning?
Yeah, it was. And so, by the way, if you don't listen to the briefing, I want to encourage you. The briefing is Dr. Al Mohler's daily worldview analysis about what's going on in the headlines and the news. He reads a lot of newspapers and news sources, and he is the president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary up in Louisville, Kentucky. And he will be in Jacksonville at the Jacksonville Pastors Conference coming up next week, right, Brad?
Let me see. I think it's the 24th. I think it starts on the 24th. I'll do a quick check.
Well, if it's the 24th, that'd be a week from Thursday. So I believe that's right, because that's about the same time they did it last year. So, I didn't mean to get us off on that, but that was just – it was so – mind-blowing to me to see that they're actually putting that in the curriculum. I guess we shouldn't be surprised, you know, by the way things have been going.
Well, yeah, it doesn't surprise me, but it's just when you hear it and then you just start rationalizing, just thinking through what's going to go into that, what's going to go into implementing that, you know.
Well, de Blasio has already put out in New York that you can put on your birth certificate something other than male or female. You know, you can put something different up there. So I just think, you know, we're going to see this more and more. But what's so crazy about it is we are now defining people by sexual preference, not by their genetics anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, the DNA of a person doesn't change. The DNA of a male is a male. Now, their perception of who they are, that can change. But the actual body that they have, unless it's surgically altered, and even then they can't change the DNA. Right? They can't change what God made in that body. And so, it's messed up.
Yeah,
but we need to pray. And remember, we don't hate the sin. We don't.
Or those who implement this.
Yeah, or those who we don't. We are to be a light to them. We're to pray for them. And there's a lot of people that are going to be confused by this. And we need to be loving and caring and praying and try to be a light source to those people and not pull away from them, but to actually be compassionate toward them and understanding they've been fed garbage from the enemy.
Well,
this is all from the enemy.
That's reminds us, we need to be reminded, they are thinking the way they think because of the darkness that exists in the world and what they've kind of fed into their minds. If they're not spiritually alive, we shouldn't be surprised.
Yep.
Hey, glad you joined us today. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. SWAT Radio.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation. SWAT Radio is underwritten in part by IPC Technologies. IPC Technologies offers IT and communication solutions. They offer help to organizations in selecting and implementing on-premises technologies, cloud-based solutions, and carrier services. IPC offers end-to-end solutions. Their suite of services includes engineering and implementation of services, virtual CTO services, monitoring and proactive maintenance, remote and on-site support and consulting, and staff augmentation. You may reach IPC at 804-622-7233 and online at www.ipctech.com.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad and Doug here this Tuesday afternoon. Hey, Doug, before we went on the break, I mentioned that we were talking about the Jacksonville Pastors Conference that's going on, next week.
Yep.
24th, 25th, 26th, and 27th, actually.
Yeah.
It's technically, I think, going to be the 25th through the 27th, but just let me just mention just a few of the speakers that are going to be on there.
First, let me say something. You don't have to be a pastor to go.
You do not have to be a pastor.
In fact, a lot of people who aren't pastors go, right?
I mean, I've gone every year for, I don't know, 10 years or so. But, of course, Heath Lambert is the pastor at First Baptist, so he'll be speaking. But one of our guests, Al Mohler, who we were just talking about, Jim Cimbala, Matt Carter from Austin, Texas, Austin Stone Church, Steve Gaines, J.R. Vassar, Erwin Lutzer, Moody Bible Church, Fred Luter, H.B. Charles right here in Jacksonville at Shiloh, and then Dan Hall, Bob Russell, Jerry Vines, Jimmy Draper, Wayne Cordiero, and our good friend Tommy Nelson.
Yeah, and Tommy will be our guest Friday.
That's a great lineup right there.
It is, and Jim Cimbala, you might remember, wrote Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire.
Mm-hmm.
He is the pastor up at the Brooklyn Tabernacle in New York. And if you want to be blessed, just Google Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir and listen to those guys sing up there. They do an amazing job. That book, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, is a great book. Jim's a very humble pastor and a great guy. Al Mohler's great. Erwin Lutzer is great too. He's a pastor up in Chicago,
Moody Bible,
and he is just a really articulate guy. He's a lot like Mohler in the way he looks at culture, but he wrote a book called 1 Minute After You Die that is a great
Lutzer did.
Mm-hmm. It's a great book. I don't know if it's pronounced Lutzer or Lutzer, but He wrote that book, and I've given a lot of copies of that book away. If somebody you know struggles with the death of somebody, it is a great resource. It's an encouragement and a warning. It's an encouragement for people who are believers, but for people who aren't, it's a warning that, you know, it's like, did I share that yesterday about that quote from that Tampa guy who said, I hope I was wrong?
Yes, you did.
So, I mean... Yeah, one minute after you die, he says, just to quote one little thing, and I'll paraphrase it, is if we were to see somebody who passed away who was a believer, 1 minute after they died, they would be so glorified that we would be worshiped. We would fall on our face before them because they would be in a glorified, sinless state at that point. And he said, and if we saw somebody who wasn't, they would scare the hell out of us, literally, because it would be demonic.
It
would be so scary.
Erwin Lutzer written a number of books. The one you just mentioned, one of the ones that I've read in the last couple of years, in fact, it came out in 2016, called Rescuing the Gospel.
Yeah.
If you're a church historian, you're interested in church history, let me recommend that book. That book is phenomenal.
Yeah. And by the way, I know my mom and dad listen. I want you to know that hell was not used as a cuss word there. It means literally the hell out of people. So I just want to make sure, man, I still feel that accountability to my mom and dad.
You know, you should. By the way, you know, Matt Carter, who's at in Austin, boy, he is amazing.
Yeah.
He's a truly gifted speaker. A good communicator of the gospel. H.B. Charles, you know, I think one of the interesting...
We need to get H.B. on.
And
here,
he's got a radio broadcast here, I believe, Steve. But H.B. is... he's amazing. And when we say amazing, I mean, I don't want to elevate these men, but these are truly gifted men on communicating the gospel. H.B. uses... I think what's fascinating about H.B., I want to just be there to see him preach because he doesn't preach with any notes.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty interesting. Yeah. You're going to give a 45-minute sermon with no notes?
Yeah.
That means you know the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking about this over the last month or so in our house, about the value of having a reservoir of scripture put to memory. And HB certainly has that. So
he does.
And don't miss Al Mohler. But as you said, Doug, it is open to anybody that wants to come.
Mm-hmm.
There is a charge for pastors who want to come and be there for the whole week because there's materials and books and all sorts of stuff.
Boatload of books.
Dinners, lunches, all these breakout sessions. And
but you can just slide in for any session you want, and there's no charge. So, hey... we are looking this week at Matthew 19. The subject is the key to saving faith. And, you know, we started talking yesterday about it and kind of laid out the four things that God reveals in this passage, 13 through 30, of the character of saving faith, the conviction of saving faith, the confirmation of saving faith, and the crown of saving faith. And the character we're talking about a childlike faith.
Mm-hmm.
And a child, we talked about being simple, honest, humble, trusting. All these characteristics of a child are the things that basically you need to possess. You need to possess to receive.
Yep.
Because if you're prideful, you're not going to think you need it. And we actually see an example of that as we move into the next element, which is the conviction of saving faith, which is to recognize our need. Now, if you and I were to be asked, do we really need Jesus? We would all say yes. I mean, as believers, we're going to acknowledge, yes, we need him.
Mm-hmm.
But do we really practically exhibit a life that says, I know I need him? I know I need him, because if you're doing that, you're recognizing your need. I think for a lot of us, Brad, we think I'm not that bad of a person.
Hmm.
Because we tend to look at other people and evaluate ourselves, not based on the standard of Jesus as our standard, but we look around and we look at people around us and we think, well, I don't struggle with that like he does, or look at that guy. I mean, he doesn't read his Bible that much, or he doesn't pray. I pray a lot more. And so we can tend to start to elevate ourselves, even if it's just a little,
mm-hmm.
to the point of where we say, you know what? I'm really not that bad. Yeah, I need Jesus, but I'm not as bad as these other people.
It's almost like a competition. Mm-hmm. It's a horizontal view of our righteousness,
mm-hmm.
that I may be righteous compared to that guy, or I may be unrighteous compared to that guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's really having a vertical view. You mentioned it a minute ago in talking about Erwin Lutzer's book, One Minute After You Die. If you were to see God as he is, well, I mean, John fell to his face, couldn't even look at him.
Mm-mm.
And I mean, I think that's going to be the reality. Problem is, we live on this earth and we tend to look horizontally at how we're doing and measuring our own righteousness toward what other people are.
Well, if you take this situation that's going on, what's going on is Jesus had just got through teaching the disciples. I mean, because children were being brought to him. They rebuked him, and he said, no, don't do that. To such as these belong the kingdom of heaven. Well, that sparked something in one of the guys who's around him, a ruler. Yeah. Many people think it was a synagogue ruler, a young man somewhere in his mid-20s to 40. That phrase means that, what that calls him, a man. And so he comes up to him, he says, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? I mean, you would think that's awesome. Here this guy's coming up to Jesus, and I think he really wants to know, what do I have to do? And
well, do you think this is, I mean, this is obviously coming in the text after he talks about
the kingdom.
For such is the kingdom, for such a people like these children, these infants.
So in his mind, he's got to be thinking, well, I've been ruling in the synagogue. I keep the law. I'm doing all these things. And I really believe he probably was a fairly good moral man.
Sure.
But
according to
his evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, folks, that we don't evaluate ourselves. God evaluates us.
Yeah.
And he doesn't just evaluate our deeds. He evaluates our thoughts. He doesn't evaluate the things we do only. He evaluates the things we don't do that we should do. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things, Brad, that we don't factor in a lot of times in what we call the blind spot areas of our life, whether it's witnessing, whether it's praying for people. I mean, think about it. Let's just take those two things alone. If you're listening today, when's the last time you prayed for somebody's salvation? When's the last time you prayed for God to bless somebody who was struggling? When's the last time you even prayed for anybody other than somebody that you had a selfish need for? Now, I mean, I'm not saying that you're not doing it, but do you do it every day? I mean, I don't think anybody does it every day. Have you done it every day for your whole life? When's the last time you shared the gospel with somebody? When's the last time you were a witness of Jesus Christ in the gospel to somebody else? If you're not doing those things, we're called to do those things. He calls us to do that. Pray without ceasing. There's so many commands in Scripture that we don't implement. And that's not even getting into the thought life yet of the things that we think about that are detrimental to the kingdom. And so this man comes up to him and asks, what good deed must I do? And, when we come back from the break, I'm going to have you read the second part of the passage today, starting in verse 16, and read it all the way through, just through 22, just dealing with him, the rich young ruler, and what takes place. And talk about the conviction. And as we do that, and as we go to break, I want you to think about this fact, that compared to 98% of the world, maybe 99, no matter, if you're listening to this, you're wealthy.
Yep.
You're wealthy. Yep. If you're listening on a phone, if you're listening on a radio in a car, if you're listening on a radio in your home, compared to 99% of the world, you're wealthy. And so keep that in the context of your own mind as we come back, and we're going to talk about what it means to have conviction of saving faith, and it's recognizing our need. Do you recognize your need? When we come back, we're going to look at that.
We are a desperate people, aren't we?
We should be.
Yep, absolutely. Glad you joined us today. By the way, just a quick plug, SWAT Bible studies start back tomorrow morning. So if you want to join us, Wednesday, 6:30 to 7:30 a.m. at Woody's Barbecue, southwest of Solano Road on A1A. And tomorrow at lunch, 12 to 1, here at the Salem Center, 72.
Chick-fil-A tomorrow.
Yeah. Is it Chick-fil-A?
Chick-fil-A tomorrow.
So that'll be 7235 Bonneville Road. Again, that's 12 o'clock. 6:30 to 7:30 tomorrow night, Eastside Community Church, 13301 Beach Boulevard. Of course, Thursday, 6:30 to 7:30, Jumpin' Jack's House of Foods.
Best
on
burgers
Mandarin.
In town.
They're awesome. And then 9 to 10:30, The Village Inn down in St. Augustine. We'll be right back, SWAT Radio.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. British lawmakers have turned a big thumbs down to the Brexit deal as negotiated by Prime Minister Theresa May. Some Brits now say they're worried about a no-deal Brexit. Rhiannon Elling runs her own business.
Families like me, I don't know how we will still be able to provide and make good for our children coming in the future, because it's not going to be a fix in the next 12 months. It's not going to be a fix in the next 5 years. It's a long time.
Parliament rejected the terms of the Brexit deal by a vote of 432 to 202. That sets the stage for the feared no-deal Brexit or a hard Brexit. President Trump's choice to replace Jeff Sessions as Attorney General is assuring wary senators on Capitol Hill of his independence.
William Barr telling members of the Senate Judiciary Committee,
President Trump has sought no assurances, promises, or commitments from me of any kind.
As for the Mueller probe,
I believe it is vitally important that the special counsel be allowed to complete his investigation.
Barr says it's very important the public and Congress be informed of Mueller's findings.
My goal will be to provide as much transparency as I can, consistent with the law.
He added his duty is to ensure the Justice Department is, in his words, above and away from politics.
That's Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines reporting. Ford and Volkswagen say they're teaming up to form what they call a global alliance.
The alliance will begin with the development of commercial vans and medium-sized pickups for the global markets, with both companies contributing to each other's product lineups.
That's Ford CEO Jim Hackett. And if you're not thrilled at the idea of the makers of the VW Beetle and Jetta making your next pickup truck, not to worry.
And Ford will develop and build medium-sized pickups for both companies.
The two will also cooperate on battery-powered and autonomous vehicles. VW plans to invest another $800 million in its facility in Chattanooga. On Wall Street right now, the Dow is up about 90 points. More of these stories at townhall.com.
Most of the major expressways in Greater Jacksonville in good shape now. No active accidents, no major delays, but do watch out for planned construction on I-95 northbound at the exit at the 295 West Beltway. That's near the airport on the north side. That's blocking the right lane there, so be careful. Clouds around this afternoon, becoming clear and cold tonight. Low 38. Wednesday, mostly sunny, high 62.
Back to SWAT Radio, Brad Sykes, Doug McCary, this Tuesday afternoon. And Doug, I made a mention on social media about this study that we're doing this week, and I forgot to mention that last little part, the crown of saving faith. So
yeah,
and I know you'll jump into that on Thursday.
Yep, we'll hit that Thursday, and maybe we'll talk a little bit about it tomorrow too. But you know, I want you to read the passage, really 16 through,
yeah,
through, actually read 16 through 20, Brad, just 16 through 20 today, because I think I really want to focus in on the need, the need and recognizing need, because again, going back, most of us think we're not that bad. We look at this guy and we judge him. But a lot of times we're like him.
And I like how 20 asks a question. It ends with a question. Mm-hmm. It's really good. So if you're in your car, listen up. If you have a Bible in front of you, Matthew 19, beginning in verse 16. And behold, a man came up to him saying, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There's only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these I have kept. What do I still lack?"
So if you go over to Exodus 20, and you were to look at the Ten Commandments, which the moral law, usually when Jesus referred to the law, most Jewish people, or even that time, they would refer to the Ten Commandments. They would think about it. It kind of is the moral law, you know, for the Jewish people, their moral law, their ceremonial law, and their civil law was all tied up into one in a theocracy. But when they were talking about spiritual things and they referred to the law, they were typically talking about the Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the Ten Commandments, you'll notice that I'm the Lord your, you know, when he says, you shall have no other gods before me, you shall not make for yourself a carved image, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, and remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The first four, he doesn't mention here. And I find that interesting. In fact, if you look in the Bible, in the New Testament, most of the time that the law is mentioned like this, and they lay out actual commandments from those 10, you don't see those first four.
Mm-hmm.
You only see these. And so you have to ask the question when you see stuff like that in Scripture, why? When Jesus says, you know, if you would enter life, keep the commandments, why wouldn't he? The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, right, soul, mind, and strength. Why wouldn't he list that? Well, I believe, Brad, when we look at this, the reason is that to love God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength is encapsulated in those first four. That lived out is measured by what Jesus gave here. Because if you're loving God with all your heart and you're honoring him and you're doing that vertical part of the relationship with God, then the horizontal is going to be worked out this way, right?
That's right.
And so Jesus lays that out for him, and the typical response should have been, oh, I can't do that.
Yeah.
I've broken those, because we can't keep those laws every day, 24/7. Why? Mm-hmm. Because Jesus evaluated even further back in Matthew 5. Remember in Matthew 5 when he was going through and he said, you've heard that it was said that you shall not commit adultery. But I say, if you look at a woman in lust, you've already committed adultery in your heart. Oops. Now we've gone from the physical act to the internal thoughts. That takes it to a whole different level. You've also heard that it said that you shall not murder. I say that if you look at your brother with hate in your heart, you've already committed that murder. And so Jesus took it from just the physical acts to actually the inner thoughts. And so when you incorporate that into this, and then you hear this guy say, I've done that, you go, oh my gosh, he don't get it. He just doesn't get it.
Well, I think it's interesting. We didn't read 21, but Jesus said to him, if you would be perfect. He uses that word perfect.
Yeah, we didn't read it. I mean, he goes on to tell him that, you know, if you would be perfect, sell everything. But that's getting into the confirmation that we're going to talk about tomorrow. But the biggest thing right here is he doesn't recognize his need.
Mm.
Now, I want you to imagine you go to a doctor and you've got a life-threatening illness. And the doctor's telling you, you know, listen, if you want to be cured of, you know, the things going on in your life, why do you go to the doctor most of the time? Most of the time we go to the doctor because there's symptoms, right?
Right.
Those symptoms highlight a problem. Well, for most of us,
that's unknown.
But when we go in, the doctor says, okay, Brad, what's your problem today? What's going on? What's going on? That's what they say. Yeah. They don't say, what's your problem? They say, what's going on today? And you say, well, I got this rash, or I've got this bump that won't go away, or I'm having pain here, or I've got a fever, whatever it is. And then the doctor says, okay, he does some tests. And he says, okay, this is what you have. Here's your medicine. Do you ever argue with your doctor about taking your medicine?
No.
Do you ever argue with him about the symptoms?
Mm-mm.
And most of the time, you're going to recognize those symptoms. Well, the problem spiritually for us is we don't recognize our symptoms a lot of times. Our symptoms are clouded by our pride. In fact, we can't see the symptoms because listen, there's a reason that you think this guy just randomly came up to Jesus. You think this guy just goes, okay, I'm going to go to Jesus today. And I'm going to ask him. No, you got to remember who is orchestrating every event of everything we see. The God in heaven is surfacing things. He's not only surfacing it for Jesus to show the people who he's dealing with, but also who's being trained.
Yeah.
The disciples.
Yeah.
So this is a teaching point for the disciples. And he brings this guy up and he shows him, one, wealthy people, and we would be classified as wealthy, have no need for God. They tend to trust in their own resources. That's one big issue. How many times, Brad, when things are good for you financially, do you really consult God about what you should do?
Well, if I go way back, I didn't do that very often.
When you were blessed with a lot of resources, right?
Yeah. But you know what's interesting? When things are really going good, am I more restful during those times? Yeah, interesting. When this assessing your own symptoms, we're not real good at that.
Well, that's why we need community. Mm-hmm. And again,
right.
Our pastor the other day said, you will absolutely not experience real, true spiritual growth unless you're in community.
Yeah, totally agree.
You can't do it in isolation. And so the problem is now we have Google and everybody goes to, what's that medical app you can go to?
WebMD or something.
Everybody goes to WebMD and they self-check themselves and they look at Google and they self-check themselves on Google. But the real deal is, you don't have any medical training. And so, unfortunately, people have done some dangerous things by misdiagnosing and put off some things. And this young man made a terrible, terrible self-diagnosis here by saying, I've done all that. Well, as we were thinking about the wealthy, since we were wealthy and he was wealthy, we know that because it says in the text itself, he had great wealth. But wealthy people not only have no need for God, they tend to trust their own resources, but they're tied to the world. There's too much to lose or risk. I mean, they tend to want to attack life on their terms because they have resources. They want to protect those resources and preserve them. In fact, I think of the story over in Luke chapter 12, Brad, when the rich man, he goes, he's looking at all of his stuff. He goes, what? I know what I'll do. I don't have enough barns to keep all my stuff. So I'm going to build bigger barns. Mm-hmm. Then I can just sit back, be happy, be merry, party, do what I want to do. And God says, this very night, your soul's required of you. He died. He got it all. That happens a lot. Listen, nobody knows what the future holds. Your resources are not yours. They never were yours.
That's right.
They were given. You have a stewardship of every resource of time. And listen, some of you may be listening and go, I don't have a lot of money. We all have time. We all have, talent. And those are resources just as valuable sometimes in the kingdom as the money. And again, compared to 90% of the world, we're wealthy. And then the other thing wealthy people do, we tend to be selfish consumers, not conduits. And when we come back from the break, Brad, I want to go back to that. There's a passage in Leviticus 19 and 23 that talks about the four corners of a field. You don't harvest them. I taught on that when we were in Israel, that you don't harvest. From the beginning, Jewish people kept those four corners so that poor people, travelers, sojourners could go in and have some food when they didn't have any.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And we tend to consume everything we have for ourselves. Mm. And so when we come back, I want to go back to this guy's real problem, which is not all these things I mentioned about that we struggle with as wealthy people, but not recognizing our need.
Yep. Hey, glad you joined us today. You want to call that last segment, 904-401-1413, SWAT Radio.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomnehl.com.
Hey, folks, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes here with Doug McCary. We're in Matthew chapter 19. What a great study this is, this rich young leader.
Yeah.
You know, just the wait, this could have been taught today.
Yeah.
Could be taught to me and you, and this is us.
It is. It is. It's a very convicting passage, mm-hmm. by the way. You know, as I was thinking about this guy, you know, riches are good. We all want resources, right? We all want money to be able, in our culture, you need money. In every culture, you need money to be able to live, to exist, to survive. And you think about it. I mean, people play the lottery every day hoping they get millions of dollars. People put together business plans, business ideas in hopes of making it big one day in the business world. I was talking to a guy the other day. He was telling about this guy, 34 years old, sold a company for a couple of million dollars. All right. The guy has $2 million. $2 million. And you're thinking, wow, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of resources. In your 30s, I mean, you know what I'm saying? That's a pretty good paycheck for a company that he just started. And, you know, but it can all be gone tomorrow. It can all be gone tomorrow. There's no guarantees that you won't invest it in something that can go through. Who's in charge of all that? It's God's. Mm. It is his. And we are stewards. And I think over in the book of James, it says, "Come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted. Your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver have corroded, and their corrosion will be evidence against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasure in the last days." In other words, during the last days, instead of using your resources for kingdom things, you've laid them up for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You've not thought about anybody but yourself. And, you know, when you look at this guy, we know you alluded to it, and we're going to talk about it tomorrow. He was told to sell his things and give to the poor. If you want to be perfect, go do that. God addressed the idol of his heart, and we're going to talk about the response to that tomorrow. But don't miss, he thought he was a good guy. Mm-hmm. He thought he had kept all the law. And this passage in Leviticus 19 and Leviticus 23 about the four corners was specifically there for the Jewish people to not be consumers only, but to be conduits of blessing other people. In fact, all the way back in Genesis 12, God said to Abraham, through you, all the families of the world will be blessed. And the mistake the Jewish people made was they believed that that blessing was just for them.
Right.
And I wonder sometimes if we don't make the same mistake. You know, God just brought me in for me. It's all about me. I don't talk to people about my faith. I don't go out and see how I can serve the King. In fact, what do I get out of this? And we're going to see on Thursday. That's really what we're going to look at Thursday is Peter's response. Lord, we've left everything. What do we get?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and sometimes, and by the way, if you want to see Jesus' response to that, you can look at what he says in that 19, but we're going to be talking about that this week in 20, because Jesus tells a parable about a landowner, and it really is insightful into the heart of God.
That's a reason you need to be at SWAT Bible studies tomorrow.
Yeah, I hope you'll join us. But, you know, and again, I do want to say, wealth is not evil. Being wealthy is not evil. He's not addressing that. What he's saying is he's addressing a wrong attitude about wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's people that are hoarding their money for their own selfish benefit without considering the poor, the kingdom work. That's what he's talking about. And the biggest mistake this young man makes is that he says, I've done everything. I've done all that.
Mm-hmm.
I've kept the law. I'm not a bad person. I've done all those things. And, you know, it's tragic. You know, 1 John 3:17 says, how can you say you love God? And how can you say God's love abides you when you see your brother who's in need and you don't help him? I mean, that you talk about a convicting passage, Brad.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. So
you think about, and we have a caller, but then we'll get to it because I know I want to look at that Leviticus 19 and Leviticus 23. But, you know, when you think about the resources that God has blessed us with, maybe it's a car, maybe it's a house, maybe it's money, maybe it's stocks, whatever it is. What is our first tendency? What is your first tendency when God blesses you with something?
Mm-hmm.
Is it, now I can go do this, now I can go do that, now I can spend it on myself?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe we need a little mind shift, a little paradigm shift to say, God, this is from you. How do I use it for you, for your glory? Because so oftentimes, whatever God has blessed us with, we turn around and just feed ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, you're exactly right.
You name it, whatever that might be, there is a temptation to do that with almost everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, you think about this guy's questions. First of all, his question assumed that we could earn eternal life. First of all, that shows
what must I do?
Yeah, we show and contrast that with the child. The child was brought to Jesus, could do nothing, but just
couldn't get there on his own.
Yeah, but the man comes saying, "Hey, what do I do? What's that one thing that I can do, which out of the law, which one is the one that's really going to get me over the line?" And, you know, by emphasizing the goodness of God, Jesus actually questioned his goodness. You know, I mean, he's saying, you know, good, only God is good.
Mm-hmm.
Only God is good. And so to keep God's commandments reflect his goodness. But that young man couldn't do it perfectly. We know from Matthew, he says, you have to be perfect like the Father was perfect himself. And but the man had an idea that something was missing. He just couldn't put his finger on it. And then Jesus tried to lead him to it. And he did. He surfaced his idol. And he could not walk away from it.
Yeah.
And that was sad to me. It's very sad, but we can go to the caller now.
Hey, yeah. Jeff, you on the line, buddy?
Yeah, good afternoon, guys.
Happy New Year to you.
Yeah, same to you. You know, the four corners of the field for sustenance for those that were poor. Now, consider this in Judaism. The Jewish males were commanded to make fringes in the four corners of their garments.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's translated tassels.
Tzitzits, right?
Yeah, tzitzits, yeah, Doug. So that's for spiritual sustenance. whereas the four corners of a field would be for physical sustenance. And, you know, when the Jewish woman touched the fringes, the tzitzits of our Lord's garment, she was healed completely. She had a revelation that he was the Torah in flesh.
Mm-hmm.
But and also in Malachi, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. Wings is fringes or corners. So I believe they're parallel to each other, the four and four.
Yeah, that's a really it is a good insight. You know, the four. Well, you know, the thing is, Jeff, about the four corners too is there was God's heart and compassion for the poor was seen throughout. It wasn't just something that came in the New Testament. It was always there.
Yeah.
And a lot of, in fact, I think a lot of the people, they were rebuked for that, for not doing those things,
right.
You know, for not caring for the poor. And when Jesus tells this young man to go sell what you have and give it to the poor and you will have treasure in heaven, it says he went away sorrowful.
Mm.
And we're going to look at repentance tomorrow and the fact that he was not repentant. He held on to that idol. And for so many people, they want Jesus as a savior, but not as Lord. They want to be on the train that goes to heaven, but they want to be the conductor and they want to tell how that train gets there.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is that Jesus is Lord. It's two sides of the same coin. He's Savior and he's Lord, and you can't take him as Savior and reject him as Lord. You can't do that.
Yeah, well, guys, I'm going to let you guys corner the market, okay?
Oh, that's funny.
Bye-bye.
Jeff, good to hear from you. You know, just before we have four minutes, and I know you and I both, when we teach, we like to wrap it up and bring it back to the gospel. But I think the question ends with the rich man saying to Jesus, what am I lacking?
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's people out there listening right now who may be asking that same question.
Mm.
What am I lacking?
Mm-hmm.
How would you answer that, Doug?
Well, I think the one thing that we all lack is an ability to live a life like Jesus did, apart from God. We can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it on your own. And so without Christ in you, which this young man did not have, he did not have faith in the Messiah. He had faith in himself. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. We know that from Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
So the one thing we lack that is a gift of God is faith. And we're going to look at repentance. You know, Brad, repentance is a bad word for a lot of people. They think it's a work.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to see tomorrow it's not a work. It is as much a gift of God as faith is. And so to answer your question, the one thing he lacks, I think, is faith. I mean, without faith, you can't please God.
Yeah, because he didn't refer to Jesus as being the one who's done all these things. He says, what must I do?
Yeah.
It's about what's been done.
Well, I want you to think of this going back to the medical analogy. You're familiar with chemotherapy and mm-hmm. all the treatments for cancer. Would you go through any of that if you didn't believe you had cancer?
No.
Mm-hmm. You absolutely wouldn't. And the problem for a lot of people is they don't believe they need Jesus.
Well, that was kind of what I thought as I looked at that question. What is he lacking? He's lacking the awareness of his sinful heart. You know, he's lacking humility to really see who he is.
Well,
I
was just going to say, I know these kind of comments and thoughts create questions. If you have questions or comments, please send us questions to ask@swatradio.com or Doug@swatradio or Brad@swatradio. We'd love to interact with you.
Absolutely. Good to be with you, Doug. Tomorrow, 6:30, Woody's Barbecue in Solana Road and the Salem Center at lunch.
Yeah.
We'd love to have you. SWAT Radio.
See you tomorrow.
If you missed a SWAT Radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com. Click on past shows where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts, and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual warriors and spreading His truth.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAY.